Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hop Ons podcast. Hey, John.
Hello, good friend. I have a glass in my hand, or a cup. I just wanted to say that.
You said it like it was a glass of whiskey.
It's not. It's a red Solo cup of water,
Because
all my dishes are dirty. This is a peek into my life, everybody.
This is a perpetual problem here at...
It is, here at the Phelps Fort.
I almost called it Phelps Manor.
I like that a lot better. A little swankier.
So today, we are not talking about a particular episode. Today, this is our first question and answer episode. I'm very
Q&A
excited.
Q&A time. We're doing shoulder dances. You're going to get tired.
You're probably right. I'm very excited about this. The podcast I listen to from time to time, they'll just stop and do a Q&A episode, and it's always the most engaging and the most entertaining because they just go bananas.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of
I didn't mean to
pressure
do that.
On
it's
us
okay, John. Everything will be
to
fine.
To be very engaging and entertaining.
No, I didn't say that. We're always engaging and entertaining.
Okay.
I have a couple of new names for our Young Pope podcast. I'm kidding, I don't. But okay, let's start. We're starting with a question from my friend Andrew, who's also my podcasting partner on...
Big ups to Andrew. I don't know. I just want to do that.
John's really feeling the pressure.
I don't know what to say.
But my friend Andrew, who's also my podcasting partner on the Cluttered Desk podcast, this is his question. The thing to know about Andrew, which informs this question, he really likes Dan Harmon and he really likes the TV show Community. Okay. So this is his question. Some shows like Community begin with characters as caricatures, but slowly turn them into full characters. Arrested Development doesn't seem to do this. Is it a problem that Arrested Development keeps its characters as caricatures rather than making them full characters?
I don't think so. I think with a show like Arrested Development, and maybe you'll agree with me on this, is that if it were to make these people full-on characters, this show would get really dark really fast because the caricatures of most of them are just terrible people. So if we were like take that and flesh it out into like these horrible things, I mean, the show would be awful. I think it would turn into like this weird melodrama with like murder probably even. But now that it's just like this face value thing and it's just comedy and story and craziness, I think it works perfectly.
I think I would agree with you because there's certainly a question to ask when writing a story, whether it's TV, novel, film. What do you want your characters to do? So how are they working within the story you're trying to create? Mm-hmm. And sometimes characters are exclusively allegorical, and they're not meant to turn into anything different. They represent a single idea. And when I think about a show like Arrested Development, I think of it, well, as a lot of things, but I think of it as allegory as well. So there's a reason why these characters don't change, because they represent a larger set of ideas, and the joy is watching those ideas constantly confront one another. It's a show that's just not interested in developing characters in the way other stories are, and that's okay. There's a way to do that which works. There's a way to do that which doesn't work, and I think with a show like Community, even though they are very similar, and this was ostensibly why Andrew was asking the question, from a tonal perspective, even thematically, Community and Arrested Development are very, very similar, but they do fundamentally different things with characters. And I think I agree with you. If these characters became real in a way that characters do in other types of stories, this would probably be one of the most unwatchable things imaginable.
Yeah.
If Job had to actually confront at some point his inadequacies and his foibles, I don't know what that would look like.
Inadequacies and his what?
Foibles.
Foibles?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, we'll talk about it
Spell
later.
It for me.
Foibles? I believe it's F-O-I-B-L-E-S. I'll double check.
That's
and see.
A great word.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt
it's
you.
It's okay. I told Andrew in season three, there's this joke about Job learning lessons, but it's a joke and it's not meant to be real. It's that recurring image of someone sitting on the front steps being told they can't go on the fishing trip. Do you remember this episode season three? Yeah. And we hear in voiceover narration that Job was growing or learning all over the place, but it's played for a joke, as if the only way character development and character growth could happen in this show is if it was a joke, that it couldn't really happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I like and again, I compare this a lot to Seinfeld, because Seinfeld also had characters in it that there was no – nothing felt like there was like a doom approaching. There was no big – sad lesson to learn. There was nothing along the lines like that. Like with Friends, you have a narrative, you have love stories, you have all these things. What are you doing?
Oh, so foibles, F-O-I-B-L-E. It is a noun. Your Webster's dictionary definition, a minor fault in someone's character or behavior.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was the foibles lesson this week's episode.
You're welcome.
Sponsored by Foibles. Get your foibles from Nestle. Find them in the cookie aisle.
They are the worst cookies.
Foibles. Anyways.
John is feeling a lot of pressure.
No. I thought that was funny. So, Arrested Development is like Seinfeld in that there's no lesson to learn. Like with Friends, you know, it's goofy, but there's always a narrative. There's emotion to it. There's heft to it. And in Arrested Development, that is so rare. And I like that a lot. I don't have to emotionally invest in this. I have to watch it and just laugh.
I completely agree with you. I think, as we've demonstrated through our rewatching of season one and our conversations, that there certainly is room to talk about these characters and what they experience. But I think there's a difference between the characters within the show acknowledging those problems and a viewer acknowledging those problems and talking about them within the show itself. There is no suggestion whatsoever that characters can grow. This is something that Michael seems to talk about a lot, that his family will always be like this. Mm-hmm. And there is something quite watchable about that kind of a dynamic where, you know, and we'll talk about Seinfeld probably a lot today because I think it's a fair comparison. In a show like Seinfeld, you're right. There's no growth there as well. That's not what the show is fundamentally about.
Right. But why do you think then, really quickly, why do you think that Seinfeld is you know, lauded as like the best sitcom of all time? Because I do feel that way. But do you think it's because of that? Do you think it's because here's a show, there are very stupid stories that dovetail into one very stupid conclusion, but why is it so perfect then?
Can we save that when we talk about one of our other
questions?
Oh, yeah,
we can.
Because
we can.
I'm
sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not – you didn't ask a bad question. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
But I want to talk about it with a different question because it was something I was thinking about this morning, because I was thinking about Seinfeld, Friends, and Frasier in relation to Arrested Development, and I have an idea. So I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Anything else we wanted to say about that question? I think we –
No, I mean, I think that's it. I think that if the characters were deeper than they are, the show would be a huge disaster. And I think, like Colin said, I think it would be horribly unwatchable.
There's something quite unlikable at the core of all of these characters that, for obvious reasons, is never really addressed, because if it was, this show, as you said, would be endlessly unwatchable.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a comedy anymore.
No,
it would turn into like a very melodramatic, horrible, murdery thing.
It would feel like A Long Day's Journey Into Night, if you've ever read that play, which is one of the hardest things I've ever read, because it seems to do, to some degree, exactly what Arrested Development is doing, but it's not doing it for comedic reasons. It's doing it for dramatic reasons.
Right.
If you've never read A Long Day's Journey Into Night, read it, and what you might find is this is Arrested Development if it wasn't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I know. Another family drama. So next question. John's asking this one, if you heard some paper shuffling.
And this is from Meg.
I believe so.
Yeah. It says, why wasn't this show popular during its original run? Maybe we could have a broad conversation about why Arrested Development didn't gain traction.
Okay. So this is where I wanted to talk about Seinfeld.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so Arrested Development 2003, 2004, 2005 during its original run. Mm-hmm. So there is some overlap with shows like Seinfeld, Friends, Frasier. And by comparison, even though I think you're right, Seinfeld does a lot of new things and it moves in directions that sitcoms maybe hadn't moved into to that point. Comparatively speaking, Seinfeld is a very conventional sitcom. It has a laugh track. It is multi-cam. The characters are big, bombastic, and outrageous in ways that characters usually are on sitcoms. And I would say, again, comparatively speaking, the jokes are big and bombastic as well. There isn't, comparatively speaking, a lot of subtlety to Seinfeld in the way there's subtlety to Arrested Development. I think that's incredibly important because when I think about why jokes in Seinfeld work, I think they work because they have these big sight gag moments to them.
Okay.
Where George is always shouting, or Elaine is always shouting, or right. Kramer is always shouting. There's a lot of big performances, and it works. It works. I'm not trying to imply that this is bad, but one of the ways that I think about why Arrested Development didn't work, it's just not as big as some of these other shows. And there's a couple of other things I wanted to say, but I didn't know what you thought. Am I being fair?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're being fair. I would say that there are some pretty humongous sight gags in Arrested Development. Not sure. Every episode, yeah, but there are that do get laughs. The first one that comes to mind is when they think George Sr.'s dead and Buster opens the casket and – oh, no, Joe opens the casket and Buster rolls down the hill. That happens, right?
Right, that's in season two.
Right, so that's a huge, ridiculous thing. But the reason I would compare this to Arrested Development is I think the writing in both these shows is insanely sharp. And for a sitcom, Seinfeld's writing, I think, is leaps and bounds beyond everybody. I really do. As far as like a conventional sitcom goes, Frasier's pretty close. But I also would think that, I mean, we take that idea, but let's put it to like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
So doesn't have a laugh track, also created by Larry David, does have some big yelling characters in
it.
Well,
I think Larry David's just a big, loud, yelling person.
He is, but I think the jokes in that are way more subtle than Arrested Development. The only difference being in an HBO show, you can do very adult things you can't do in Arrested Development, which adds to the comedy of that. But I don't know. I mean, that's interesting.
But even a show like Curb Your Enthusiasm, it was not a network show, so it wasn't subjected to the kind of scrutiny that network TV shows are subjected to. I think that's an important thing to remember, just like with Netflix now, right? So a show on Netflix, maybe if it's not as popular by their metric, whatever it is, which no one knows because Netflix won't tell anyone – that could affect whether or not there's a second or a third or a fourth season, but not unlike HBO or Showtime, it really feels like we're giving you this, whether it's popular or not. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't matter. And a show like Arrested Development or Seinfeld or Frasier, they were subjected to a different type of scrutiny, or they were objected to scrutiny in ways that I'm not sure cable TV shows mm-hmm. are. So a show like Curb Your Enthusiasm can try to do things differently. I get the sense that with a show like Arrested Development, there was constantly this conversation about what kind of show do we want, but how can we package it for a network?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that was a good thing because you and I, I'm sure when we get to season four, we'll talk about whether season four works without those kinds of constraints. So maybe having those kinds of constraints is exactly what makes Arrested Development work. But part of it as well, I don't disagree with you. I think Seinfeld's an incredibly sharp show, but I think Seinfeld is more accommodating to someone who has watched traditional sitcoms than a show like Arrested Development is. And yeah. I think that certainly helps. I would also say, I think there's this question, and this is what I was thinking about this morning, this question of who are we, the audience, either laughing at or laughing with in a show like Arrested Development? And let me explain. In a show like Friends, I get the impression that we're laughing with them. And that's part of the joy of the show sure. is that we feel like the seventh friend.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. in a show like Frasier, the joy is that we're laughing at them. They don't realize people are laughing at them, but we're invited to laugh at and make fun of Frasier and Niles.
Sure.
In a show like Seinfeld, we're laughing with them, but Seinfeld gives us an opportunity to explore this dark, sinister, masochistic side of what I would argue is within everyone's personality, where we're not actually laughing at people. We're given an opportunity and invited to ridicule people.
Yeah.
But with a show like Arrested Development, I don't know, because sometimes we're invited to laugh at them. Sometimes we're invited to laugh with them. Sometimes we're invited to ridicule them. Sometimes we're invited to ridicule along with them. It's very difficult to know as an audience how to calibrate your response to the show, because the show is bouncing all over the place. I think that's part of the problem as well. There isn't a clear statement of purpose for the audience, the way there's a clear statement of purpose in other shows. And I think that's part of the problem, because sometimes you feel like you want to be a part of the Bluth family, but then there are other times where that's the last thing you would want. But even at, I would say with a show like Friends by comparison, even when it gets really, really serious, you never don't want to be one of the friends.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I it does. And I think along those lines, you know, with that, another huge problem is that this show is a narrative. And if you are not there from the beginning of time, you're going to miss a lot of in-jokes. You're going to miss so many things. And there might be just one line that's said about hop-ons, and you might not have any idea what that is. And I think that is a huge problem. Especially at that time when, I mean, we have Family Guy probably airing. We have The Simpsons still on. Like, we have all these shows that you're not rewarded for watching. You just watch them and you have some laughs and you have some goofs and you go on. But with Arrested Development, you are rewarded, you know, for your viewership. And I think that's a huge problem for the show. I think that's probably the main reason it didn't succeed. I also think it's a lot smarter than everything that was on at the time.
I think both of the things you said are quite right. Even with a show like Friends, where there are callbacks, what's really interesting about how a show like Friends uses a laugh track, it uses a laugh track as a kind of bell for the audience. So, for example, I don't remember the name of that Fran Drescher character who Chandler was always dating on Friends.
Oh, I don't either.
Do you know who I'm talking about, though? So anytime she came on screen, the audience exploded.
Janice.
Thank you. Yeah. Anytime she came on screen, the audience exploded, as if to signal to the audience, this is a thing you should know. Arrested Development doesn't do that. There is not a bell that rings every time someone says hop-ons, or every time someone says Pop-Pop tried to escape, every time Job makes a joke about illusions. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. We're doing that ourselves, but we're not prompted in the same way we are on other shows. Think about a show like Frasier. Anytime Lilith walks on screen, same thing happens, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think what Arrested Development asks of its audience is different from other shows, and it's asking you to be engaged in a way that other shows just didn't and don't.
Yeah, I agree. And I think had Arrested Development come out right when, like, U.S. Office had started, it would have been one of the most popular shows of all time.
I think you might be right.
Because now shows that are on, like ABC, they don't have a laugh track, like Modern Family, and I don't think Blackish does. Like, shows that are very popular right now are directly – I mean, Arrested Development's responsible for
those. Well, I was about to say it would be – this is one of those weird time travel paradox loops where – Arrested Development couldn't exist now, because if it didn't exist and fail before, we perhaps wouldn't have this moment where shows can do that kind of thing, and where audiences can feel like they're rewarded for their obsessive fandom.
Yeah, because while if we take the U.S. Office, there is a narrative of like Jim and Pam. Okay, that's like three or four seasons. But within the episodes, there's really not a lot happening, except Jim and Pam are constantly there. So you are rewarded in that way, but it also appeals to those viewers that just want to pop in every once in a while.
Exactly.
With Parks and Rec, though, those narrative structures are huge, and you're rewarded with a payoff. So I think that again, like you said, Arrested Development's responsible for all of this. And I don't think people realize or understand that. I mean, it was – it's a landmark of television.
I like Parks and Rec a lot more than I like The Office because
oh, I do too.
I – there's a couple of reasons why I like it more. I think the quality on the whole is just better across the series than with The American Office. I think maybe The American Office at its funniest is maybe funnier than Parks and Recreation, but it's not as consistently funny mm-hmm. as Parks and Recreation. But it's something that you just said. Each season had this narrative goal, right, mm-hmm. that it was trying to accomplish. That is a really wonderful way of telling a story, having these large goals that your characters are trying to accomplish, because you get to have it both ways at that point. You mm-hmm. get to have your funny, serialized storytelling, but there's this larger thing at play as well. And I think Arrested Development does that too. All of season one is really about George Sr. and what he may or may not have done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a huge part of how Michael in particular interacts with his family. So it is telling this bigger story while also telling these small traditional sitcom stories from one episode to the next.
Yeah. The difference – one of the big things about Arrested Development is let's say that if you didn't watch the first season, the pilot episode, and you hop in like episode four – you don't have any fucking clue what's
It doesn't
going
make
on.
Any sense.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge deal.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think you're right. You and I have talked about this before, that it's a show that rewards mm-hmm. obsessive viewership, but more so than any other show, it also punishes people who want to hop in from time to time.
Right, or hop on.
Or hop on.
Hey, I think the issue is, and that's the biggest deal. That's why I think that's definitely why it did not succeed.
I think that's part of it. I think you're right. I think tone is important as well. Again, because my goodness, if you watch an episode of Friends, those jokes are telegraphed in such a way that you can practically write them as you're watching
Absolutely,
the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think Frasier has a lot of fun with the way it uses misdirection and the way it uses confusion. It feels very old school in that way, but it's equally big and it's equally predictable. And I think Seinfeld, again, even though I think Seinfeld is less like this than the other two, there's something also a bit predictable at times about Seinfeld and what might happen within each episode.
Yeah.
But Arrested Development, it's so difficult to predict what might happen from one moment mm-hmm. to the next or what someone might say. It's impossible to write these jokes as you're watching it. And that's maybe a kind of work that audiences weren't ready for
yeah.
in the early aughts.
I agree.
Okay. Next question. Okay, this is my question. Yeah, because we've talked about
– Sorry. I tried to hold it as long as I could. I fucking tried.
It's funny. I think you think I care about this more than I actually do.
Well, you did make a big goddamn deal about it, so.
I made no big deal about it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and maybe right here you could put in the whole episode where you just made fun of me coughing. Go back and listen to that. I think it's number 9, maybe? I don't know.
You know what I'll do? I'll just leave a long bit of no audio.
1 hour of blank space.
It'll be like an Arrested Development
episode. Yeah, we'll pay you off if you stay the whole time. There's great goofs at the end of this.
No, it'll be like an episode of Arrested Development when someone says, "When did I say that?" And then it just cuts to nothing. It'll be like that.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, this question, because throughout season one, there have been episodes where characters have been missing, basically. Mm-hmm. So Tobias hasn't been in some episodes. Buster hasn't been in some episodes. So imagine one actor who plays a Bluth, and I'm including Tobias in this, cannot do season 5, whether it's scheduling conflicts or pick your problem, pick your obstacle. Who would you want that to be? In effect, which Bluth could you do without?
Lindsay.
Oh, my God.
That was easy.
Explain yourself, Johnville.
Well, this is flash forward. We'll talk about season 4 a little bit right now. I don't like season 4 at all.
Really?
But when we get there, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But I think Lindsay is the weakest of all those characters. She's the one that I could probably deal with not having the most. She doesn't bring a lot of goofs to the table, and when I watch a show and I want to laugh, if Lindsay's in it, I'm probably not going to laugh that much. So I don't know. I could probably deal without Lindsay. I mean, that's a simple answer, but it's not because she's a woman, people already commenting. I don't think that's very good of you. No, that's not why at all. I just think that she's not as funny as the others, and I don't care as much about her. So there we go.
Don't you dare accuse him of being a sexist, or you will hear from Hannibal Hepburn. Because you dipped into it.
Anyway, so, what about you?
Buster.
What are you talking about? What the hell's wrong with you? Buster? Maybe the best Bluth, and you're going to get rid of the best Bluth? Baby boy Buster? What's wrong with you? Explain.
I will.
You son of a bitch.
So, if I'm thinking about the show and a story it's trying to tell, I think Lindsay matters a lot. I'll start there. I think Lindsay matters a lot because of what she means for Michael. I think Michael needs to be challenged sometimes, and even though you might not like Lindsay because of obviously retrograde feelings and thoughts you have regarding women.
You're the worst fucking human being. You're the worst. Anyway, continue.
I think not only is she necessary for Michael, but I think Lindsay is incredibly funny and very engaging, and her brand of humor is fundamentally different from everyone else.
Yeah, non-existent. You're correct.
Wow. Anyway,
go ahead.
Really? Lindsay's not funny by your estimation.
She's not nearly as funny as Buster.
Okay, that's not what I said.
But you're saying that we need Lindsay for the narrative to keep going.
I think so, and I don't think Buster is that necessary. I think there are multiple episodes.
How dare you?
Well, let me finish.
Why wouldn't you say Tobias? Tobias is way less necessary than Buster is.
I think Tobias is necessary because of how his interactions with Lindsay helped to develop that relationship. I think Buster, again, not that I would not want to have Buster, but if I'm choosing, if I'm making that awful decision to say one of the Bluths need to go, it would probably be Buster, because Buster is fun. And you're right, Buster is maybe the funniest Bluth, but there is so much humor in this show. If there's something this show could lose and still survive, I think it could lose Buster. I don't know if it could lose Lindsay and still survive. I think Buster's incredibly funny, but Buster is not as relevant, so much so, and I think this is important, Buster is so irrelevant to the family that 8 to 9 months out of the year, Buster wasn't around them. That's how unnecessary Buster is to this family.
Now you're getting
real
meta with this question. You don't have to do that.
What do you mean I don't have to do that?
You don't have to do that. I mean, just because—
How am I getting meta? I don't understand. Explain yourself.
In the narrative of the story, that Buster is not there in the world of the Bluths has nothing to do with if he should be on the show or not.
I think it does. I think within the family dynamic, Buster is, to some degree, comparatively speaking, inconsequential.
Why can't you say George Michael or maybe then?
Well, because
you think Buster is less important than maybe is?
Perhaps. I think so. Because of what maybe does and how maybe is able to show and reveal her parents and their inadequacies as parents and people.
I don't know you anymore.
I'm so sorry. You said Lindsay. I really like Lindsay. How dare you?
No, your fight doesn't sound— – your how dare you didn't even sound that angry about
me.
Well,
so this is also a problem. If Lindsay doesn't exist, or if there's no Lindsay, then how is there Tobias?
I mean, how does that work?
So by cutting Lindsay, you're in effect cutting Tobias out of the show as well.
In season 3, Lindsay's not around Tobias, and Tobias is in season 3.
Oh, they're around one another a lot in season 3.
But not at the beginning. There's like at least 3 or 4 episodes where it's just Tobias and no Lindsay.
Okay. What do you mean Tobias? I would say it's Lindsay and no Tobias.
When Tobias is working in the restaurant.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
But there's no Lindsay there. Why can't Tobias just be doing something goofy?
And I don't necessarily know if Tobias works in that situation.
Lindsay had to go on a fashion trip somewhere.
really a fashion trip?
Just
because that's all women can do is talk about clothing.
No, but she's
right?
all about fashion, though. Don't make me out to be a sexist asshole, you son of a bitch.
Will she be doing a lot of cooking?
You know what? Podcast over. So this was fun. Jerk.
John, you're being very defensive.
Because you said – because you just you just assume that I'm sexist because I say this thing and now I'm being defensive.
I don't actually believe that.
I think you're being a massive butthole right now.
How dare you, sir?
Butthole. That's way worse than
when
asshole.
When you said Lindsay, I didn't do the big arms. I didn't shout at you. I didn't interrupt you.
You did give me Colin face and went, really? Because that's your Colin way of doing big arms.
I would like to bring to everyone's attention that I did not overreact. I let you talk. The moment I said the word Buster, John went Bride from Kill Bill. The whole room turned red. And
I love Buster. Okay,
I know you do.
Well, then why would you? I think you probably did that on purpose. The more that I'm thinking about it,
not everything is about you, John.
The more I'm thinking about it, you're probably like, I'll get him riled up. This should make for some good laughs on the podcast.
Well, I suppose you're right because in my leisure time, I think about you more than anything else.
I imagine so.
I
more pretentiousness coming from Colin. More of it.
More unadulterated narcissism coming from John.
That's the whole show. I think we could probably do without maybe as well.
Okay, I don't disagree.
I'll pick maybe over Lindsay.
Okay,
does that make you feel better?
Well, it's fine. It doesn't bother me either way. I think Lindsay is certainly more consequential than maybe.
Yes,
I'm still picking Buster.
Okay, well, you're the worst. Okay, let's move on to the last question.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. What would you have done if I had said Job? You would have lost your mind.
I don't think I would have. Don't project on me how you would have reacted.
I cannot in any way win any type of argument with you because you're just going to throw it back at me.
I'm simply asking questions.
Yeah, okay.
You're assuming that I would have overreacted.
We're losing so many subscribers right now.
I don't know if that's true. I think this is the fun part.
Oh,
just to be clear, John will not be on the next episode, and it's not because of what's happening right now.
No. I have to I secured a location to film something, and I have to do it on the night we're going to record. I have to do it then.
He must.
So I apologize. But there's going to be cool a guest host. That's
it'll be
fun.
Great. It'll be great. Truffaut over here can't make it, but that's
God
okay.
God damn. I mean – and if you didn't know, Truffaut was known for also being a sexist, so that's great. Thanks, man. Why don't you just call me fucking Peckinpah or Hitchcock? Keep going with sexist directors. That's who I am.
Listen, I
know. Not a Scorsese.
I know you can't.
Not a Chris Columbus.
I know you can't.
Not a Britt Ratner.
I thought I was complimenting you by calling you Truffaut. I. So dedicated to your art. I can't believe that upset you.
No, it didn't.
He's
one of the best filmmakers
ever. He celebrated as one of the greatest filmmakers of the 20th century, correct?
It didn't upset me. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he was a massive sexist, but you are correct.
You have an odd way to show it, my friends.
Golly. I thought that maybe – I was actually congratulating you on making a better joke about me being a sexist. And then I ended it with you could have called me Britt Ratner, which that would have been awful.
You just hurt my feelings.
No, I didn't. Let's read the last question here.
You hurt me so much.
What feelings?
My goodness. The
okay.
computer program that is Colin is approximating a feeling. That feeling is sad. Okay, last question. This is something that I'm curious about. If you had to choose between one episode, any episode you want of Arrested Development and an entire season of any other show, which would you choose? Now, you would basically lose Arrested Development if this happened. So I'm creating this weird hypothetical where you either get one episode of Arrested Development or none of Arrested Development, or this other show? This is one of those desert island questions, right?
Okay.
So which would you choose? Would you be more satisfied?
I can have one episode of Arrested Development or any season of a TV show.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, man.
And you get no Arrested Development if you choose the other show, but the thing you get if you choose the other show is, we'll say, 22 episodes of something. So if we're thinking about the amount of entertainment, you would probably have, what, 10, 11 hours of entertainment versus 25 minutes of entertainment?
So basically what we're trying to say is, how deep is my love for Arrested Development?
That's really what I'm asking.
Honestly, this is a hard question. Have you thought about this?
I have.
Go ahead.
I think I would probably choose the other show.
Do you know what other show you would choose?
That's a great question, too. I was thinking about that. I think actually I would choose a season of Frasier.
Really?
I think so.
I need to watch Frasier again. I haven't watched it in years, actually.
John, there was a moment about 2 years ago when I was downstairs and my wife was upstairs, and we were both on the same Netflix account watching different episodes of Frasier.
Is it still on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I'm trying to remember the season where Niles is divorcing Maris and he must live in the Shangri-La, which that's such a great season because he has no money because he's spending so much money on divorce lawyers.
Right.
I would probably choose a season of Frasier much as I would hate to do that.
What do you like the most about Frasier?
I like how Frasier uses confusion and misdirection. And it's not meant to feel real. It's meant to feel like a stage play in many ways.
I was going to say that. That's how I feel every time I watch Frasier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like – I like the goofy, frenetic pace, the slapstick nature of the humor. I love any episode where Niles and Frasier are having a dinner party,
mm-hmm.
and there are five things happening – and they just keep shuffling people in and out of rooms to keep this awful thing from actually happening. It's just so silly and so much fun, and it reminds me of a stage play. And I think I would much rather sit and watch an entire season of Frasier than deeply, deeply enjoy and analyze one episode of Arrested Development.
Wow.
Even though I think Arrested Development is easily a much better show,
mm-hmm.
if I had that choice.
Now that we've talked about it, I'm going to choose season 6 of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Really? I've never watched this show.
It's like if you took Seinfeld and then made everybody way worse, and I mean way worse.
It seems almost impossible.
Narcissistically way worse.
Okay.
But they get themselves in situations that you don't ever feel like sorry for them and they always fuck up and ruin their life. So it's hard to explain why I like the show so much. I think it is very funny. In season 6, the character Mac, played by Rob McElhenney, decides – Rob McElhenney thought it would be funny if he gained 60 pounds. So from season 5, he's really –
he thought it would be funny?
He's really skinny and fit. In season 6, he's fat, and he keeps saying he put on bulk instead of fat. He put on bulk and mass, and he's huge, and it's hilarious. And so – I think I'd take that season, that show in general is just the craziest goddamn show ever, and I can't believe that something that's on television, and I love it. I think it's hilarious. And if we were like analyze just one episode of that, we could probably talk for like 10 hours about how terrible these characters
okay.
are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have never watched this show.
It's great. Well, the first season's not too good. But the second season, Danny DeVito joins as a character.
Okay.
He plays Frank, who is
I thought he was
dad.
There the whole time.
He's not. He's only in the second season. And progressively, he starts out as like this like Wall Street broker, lawyer, very smart, powerful guy. And just throughout each season keeps going into like fucking madness and insanity. And his hair gets huge and he's just insane, the stuff he does. So like it's fun to watch that happen. But overall, it's the craziest show. So I think I'd choose that.
Okay.
I was going to say that or like a season of 24 just to keep my heart rate up the whole time.
See, this is why we had our spat about Lindsay earlier, but this is why we love one another because I love 24 so much.
My favorite thing about 24 is Jack Bauer's messenger bag. I love it so much. that it's got literally everything at any time.
It's the Batman utility belt. It really is. Bags.
They're like, we need a pineapple for this. And Jack's like, I got one. And he pulls out a whole pineapple. That's how it works.
I'm always paying attention to how little Jack either eats or drinks water over the course of a season.
It's never.
He just doesn't. Episode one, he has a crippling addiction to heroin. Episode 11, he's fine. And then someone will say something like, Jack, you need to rest. You just recovered from a heroin addiction. Damn it, Chloe, I'm fine.
I love how frantic and crazy Chloe is. And you could tell she's definitely acting. You could tell that. That's just it's the best thing ever.
So when I was in grad school, I wrote this down somewhere, but I created a 24 drinking game.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you take a drink anytime Jack says, get me the president of the United States. You take a drink.
So you're just hammered in 4 minutes?
Basically. You take a drink anytime Jack says, damn it, Chloe. You take a drink anytime you hear the is it CTU? Anytime you hear the CTU, that unique buzzing sound from their telephones, you take a drink then. You take a drink anytime Jack tortures someone. You take a drink anytime Jack's tortured. You take a drink anytime Jack is stabbed. You take a drink anytime Jack is shot. You take a drink anytime Jack shoots someone. You take a drink anytime Jack stabs someone. You take two drinks when Jack goes rogue, which happens 7 times a season. So
Yeah,
he goes rogue, ongoing rogue. I just went rogue, but now I'm going rogue on my going rogue. Wait, is that 2 degrees of rogue? Damn it, Chloe.
So that's what 24 should be subtitled, 2 degrees of rogue.
2 degrees
I really want there to be a scene where it's just like a bathroom door and it just like has the timer and Jack's just like taking a shit. That's what I want.
Well, I made this joke before that I want the cutscene where it's just Jack sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. He's reading. Real quiet. All you can hear is the paper crinkling.
Jack just finishing a Cliff Bar or something.
And then we cut back and he explosively runs out of the room.
I'm so much lighter now.
Show is ridiculous.
You take a shot if Jack has scraggly depression beard, which happens 3 or 4 times across the show. It doesn't happen that much, which is why you take a shot, not a drink.
In one season, he had weird hobo beard.
That's the one. Yeah, that's season two.
Not like scraggly depression beard. Like he had it looked like he was sleeping in the street.
Oh, that was when he was captured by the Chinese.
Yeah. That was it.
Tortured, not unlike James Bond from Die Another Day.
And I looked at the beard and was like, that was the beard budget that we had. Go get me some dog hair and throw it on his face.
John's right. We need to enumerate all the different beards. There's scraggly depression beard and then scraggly torture beard.
Oh yeah.
Those are two different things.
I call it street hobo beard, but it's the same thing.
It looks awful. Yeah, it does.
Man, that show's crazy.
Love 24 so much.
For those of you that haven't seen 24, stay tuned for our 24 podcast.
It's
called Bauer Boys.
And he didn't write that down or anything. That was very good. John, we have moved about, well, same network, but we moved as far away from Arrested Development as possible.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Yeah.
Can I ask you one thing? If I changed the term slightly, and instead of one episode of Arrested Development, if you could have one season of Arrested Development, would that change your answer?
Yeah, season two.
Really?
Okay. Hands down. It's just
– Me too.
The fucking goofiest, funniest TV. I mean, Barry's amazing. Tobias is a blue man. Buster loses his hand. Is George Sr. the surrogate in that season, or is that season three?
That's season three.
Oh, George Sr.'s in the house in that season.
He's living he's in the attic.
Oh my God. I mean, everything is just perfect in that.
It's really funny. It's I think you're right. It's season two is maybe my favorite.
Yeah,
season of Arrested Development. It's. I don't know how we'll talk about it, but because I'm afraid it'll just evolve into, hey, wasn't that funny when that thing happened? But it's such a great, great season of television.
It really is. I mean, the jokes are just They're great. I think Tobias is just grade A in that season. He's all the Blue really, Man really stuff good. Is just classic.
It's so funny.
That's like the most classic season, I think.
I think you're right. There's a moment in season three when George Sr. has the surrogate.
Oh, God.
And they're making Godzilla noises.
Oh, yeah. That episode is insane.
That episode is insane.
I forget about that episode. And George Michael's dressed up as Godzilla, right?
Yeah. So no.
He's dressed up as the thing fighting Godzilla.
So he has the James Bond.
The bad jetpack.
He has the jetpack. And Tobias is in a mole costume.
And they're showing the Chinese investors. God damn it, that's so good.
But in that particular moment.
Oh my God.
So there's Job and Buster making Godzilla noises, and then it cuts to George Sr. and he's lying on the bed, and he just makes this sound.
And then the circuit's like, And it's like this fast cut of all of them doing it. That episode's amazing.
It's so weird.
Is that in season three?
That's season three.
Golly.
He has the surrogate in season three.
Season three is a really crazy season too.
That's when Michael starts dating Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Mr. F.
And he doesn't realize she has certain disabilities because she's English.
Yeah. That's going to be fun to talk about.
It'll be something. So
the thing I remember the most about that season is when he keeps getting hit by the Poppins. That makes me laugh so much. And he's like, nothing's going to stop me. And the Poppins hits him. He's like, motherfucker. That's so good.
That is so funny.
Yeah, definitely season two. Season two is, I can't wait to get there.
I can't either. In season three, they're in Wee Britain. Is that right? Is that the name of this part of California?
Yeah.
And that American diner, but as understood by an Englishman, is hilarious because I think it's
like all donuts and
they're eating donuts and French fries and cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. It's such a weird, weird season. It's such a weird conceit as well.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what really funny goofs are left this season. Oh, Tobias rolling around on Maggie Leiser's washing machine.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, I think those two episodes
they're great.
With Maggie
they're
Leiser
very sharp, yeah.
Are really, really funny.
And season two we get Gene Parmesan.
That is correct.
Which is one of the best sub characters.
Ice is season two.
Oh fuck, Ice is the best.
Ice is wonderful.
I forget about all these things.
I know. There's so many great things added to
When does Scott Baio show up? Season two?
That's season three. Because he's
Okay.
He's someone's he's Tobias's lawyer.
Too bad he's weirdly a right-wing idiot in real life. I didn't know that.
He's quite intense.
We'll talk about that when we
get
there.
Sure, but so Tobias and Lindsay decide to move forward with their divorce proceedings.
Yeah.
And he hires...
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, cool.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
You are a mouthful, sir.
You, sir, are a mouthful. Yeah. I think my favorite thing, I don't know, like Arrested, again, the running gags, and that's something that we talked about, like you get paid off for it. And in season two, that's huge, especially like all the Blue Man stuff is just amazing. And the blue paint on the house is the most incredible thing.
The handprints.
It's just so funny.
Yeah, it's so great.
When he pats Michael's shirt and he's like, your shirt's off. No, I did that. He's got blue handprints on his shirt.
And there are moments in episodes where Tobias is not in blue makeup, but they've placed a little bit behind his ear.
Yeah,
it's those kinds of details. I think I told you my favorite Barry Zuckerhorn joke is when he runs over Tobias and he shouts, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah. My favorite is, and this is funny, I just remember this, when Barry literally jumps the shark on the pier.
Yes.
We'll talk about that when we get to that episode.
That's a Fonzie
thing. Yeah, that's a Fonzie thing.
So I believe he says, "And I am going to Burger King."
Yeah.
Because there's a great Burger King running gag in season two, I think. Or is that season one?
Maybe it's in this season. It's in season – I don't know. It might be this season.
Because
– it's a great restaurant. It sure is.
Well, I think we talked about everything we needed to talk about. I would agree with you if it was one season of Arrested Development or any other show – I think I would take probably season two.
It's the best.
Yeah, I think so. John, your podcast with Jenny, any news?
We're trying to get a logo made up. The person that's supposed to do it's just being shady. So
okay.
We're going to have to get a new one made up.
But soon.
But yeah, soon, soon.
Soon.
We're going to get that out. And we're recording a really great new brew interview for my YouTube channel about a Buster Keaton movie called Sherlock Jr. And it's just awesome. And I can't wait.
Excellent.
That's what I have to film Monday. So apologies, I won't be here. Emily will be here.
Oh, that's okay.
And it's going to be great. You guys are going to do
it'll
awesome.
It'll be a lot of fun. That's the Nice Marmot Productions YouTube page.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube, you just type in Nice Marmot Productions in the search bar, you'll find us. Yeah.
Well, it's in the show notes.
It's also in the show notes.
It's also in the show notes. I link to it and everything. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy.
I do appreciate you.
No, I can't wait for your podcast with Jenny. We'll probably put it on this feed, the first episode, just so people can listen to it.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
And then we'll link to your feed.
We recorded it already, and I just have to edit it. But we're waiting for art to get done.
Waiting
Somebody's
for art.
Like, we're going to do a logo for you and draw it out. And so we're waiting to get that done. So
I can't wait. It'll be a lot of fun. Okay. Well, this brings us to the end of our first question and answer episode. We had a lot of fun.
I am
John
sorry
and I
that
are
got...
maybe are still friends. I don't know. John got really angry at me.
We're friends. Forever.
Forever.
Bower Boys.
Damn it, Chloe. For the Hop On's podcast, my name is Colin Cox.
I'm John Phelps.
Okay, John, let's go save the world.
Yeah, thanks.
The Hop On's podcast is a Nice Marmot production with help from the Cluttered Desk podcast and music by Test Dream. All of our contact information is in the show notes. The easiest way to contact us is through Twitter at HopOnsPodcast and email hoponspod@gmail.com.